The remarks of the President, Cornellsville, Pennsylvania, 23 October 1952.
Appreciate very highly this welcome here in Connellsville. I always think of one man when I come to Fayette County, the man who will be the outstanding figure when the history of this period is written, and that's George C. Marshall. He was a native of this county and went to BMI from here. And he's one of the greatest leaders this country ever produced. Now, I want to tell you why I'm here. If you don't know, I'm out campaigning for the Democratic victory in November. I'm not running for anything myself. I've had every honor a man could want. Now I'm just anxious to see this country in good hands for another 4 years. You know, it's customary. When a man has received all the honors he can from a party, to retire as a high hat and not be willing to do his part to keep that party running. I'm not that sort of a Democrat. I'm grateful for the honors they've given me. I believe sincerely in the principles of the Democratic Party. I've worked and fought in the Democratic Party for 40 years. And since they've given me the highest honor that can come to a man, I expect to try to repay as far as I can the honor they've done me by helping the party as long as I live. I hope a lot of other people will get religion like that too before this is over. I've been traveling all across this country explaining to the people the basic issues in this campaign. I've been telling them that the Democratic Party is the party of the people, and I believe that. The record proves it. During the last 20 years, we have fought the battle of the people against the special interests. The results have been good for this great country, and the country is in better condition today than it ever was before in its history. I've also been telling the people that the men who control the Republican Party are no friends of the plain everyday man. That's proved by the Republican record in Congress. I've been citing chapter and verse out of that record from one end of the country to the other. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been there for the last 18 years and I know the record. The Republican Party is controlled by the big men, the big lobbies, the special interests that pay the party's bills and call the tune for the Republican Party to dance by. The other day, somebody showed me a report, which I have right here. It's the most interesting document, which tells about a poll among the bank officers and how they are going to vote in this election this year. And how do you think the bankers are going to vote? They're going to vote the Republican ticket 12 to 1. I think that ought to give you a pretty good idea of who the Republicans worked for. Now, there's something else in that report I think you should know about. These bankers are all for the Republicans, but a lot of them think the Democrats will win. One of them explained the reason for that. He said, and I quote what he said. This is what the banker said, and he thinks the Democrats are going to win, in spite of the bankers voting for the Republicans. Life's been too easy and comfortable for a large segment of the non-thinking electorate, and they don't want to change. Well, there you are. This banker says life's been too easy and comfortable for the most of us. And he's upset because the most of us want life to continue easy and comfortable for us. He wishes we were less comfortable and would vote more Republican. But I guess we're going to vote the Democratic ticket just the same. I can see why this would make a banker feel very badly. But he oughtn't to claim that the people who don't want a change are non-thinkers. I believe the Democrats think just as much as the bankers and the Republicans, and I think they think a lot straighter. After all, it was the thinking of the bankers and their friends that got us into the Great Depression. I hope you'll think it over. Think like those bankers never thought you could, and you'll know where your best interest lies. Think of your own interest. Think of what helps you and what helps the whole country. Think which party has always worked for the welfare of this great country. Study the record of the two parties. The reason I'm going up and down the country, as I am, I want to persuade people to think for themselves. If they do that, I don't have to worry about what the result is going to be. I know how you'll decide. You'll go to the polls on November, and you'll vote the Democratic ticket, and that's the only sensible thing you can do. You'll vote to send Judge Barr to the Senate and Tom Morgan back to the House of Representatives. They'll represent you and not the bankers or the special interests. And you'll make Adlai Stevenson the next President of the United States, and we'll have four more years of prosperity and good government.
Remarks of the President, Rockwood, Pennsylvania, 23 October 1952.
Thank you very much. Appreciate very much this wonderful welcome. You know, I've been most pleasantly received all the way across this great state. I always think, well, maybe the next time there'll be nobody there, and when I get there, why, everybody in the place is there. I understand that three times as many here as live in this town. That certainly is a compliment. I guess you are acquainted with the fact that I'm out doing a little campaigning for the Democratic ticket. I'm telling you that now in case you didn't know it. You have some fine candidates here in this great state of Pennsylvania. Your candidate for Senate, for the Senate, Judge Guy Bard, is a wonderful man. He's made a great judge, and he'll make you a great senator. And I'm glad to say a good word for him. And I hope you'll send Phil Shoemaker to the Congress. I understand he's got the famous Shoestring District in Pennsylvania that is 200 miles long and a mile wide. And I hope you elect him, just on that account. Our national ticket has two of the finest candidates any party ever offered to the people. Governor Stevenson of Illinois has an outstanding record of public service, and I know he'll make you a great president. I hope you've been following his speeches, because he's telling you just where he stands on all the great issues that are before the country. He doesn't talk one way in Pennsylvania, another way in Michigan, and another way in California. He tells you straight out what he believes, and he's a man you can trust. Senator Sparkman will be an excellent vice president. He's been working for years in the interests of the farmer, the small businessman, and the rest of the plain, everyday people of the country. The Republican candidate for president has been a great general, but I think he's made it clear that 40 years in the Army doesn't give the background needed for the presidency. Two of our former presidents were professional soldiers and great generals, but they were not able to handle the presidential job. They failed badly, and the whole country suffered as a result. You know, the office of the president is the greatest office in the history of the world. It's the greatest and the most powerful office in the history of the world, and it's a public relations office. The president spends most of his time trying to persuade people to do what they ought to do without being persuaded. Now, a military man's been in the habit of saying to the soldiers, you do this, and if they don't do it, they get court-martialed. Well, the president hasn't got any chance to court-martial anybody. He's trying to make the government run. And you must bear that in mind when you go to elect the president, and the people are at fault when they don't get the right people for the place. It's your business to inform yourselves on what the issues are, and then go and vote intelligently, and you'll always get good government. Now, that's what I want to impress upon you, that you yourselves are the government, and it's your duty to study all the issues carefully. Study the records of the two parties. Think which one has done the most to serve your interests, and consider whether you need a professional military man for president or an able and experienced civilian leader who knows how to make the government machine work in this free republic of ours. All I want you to do is just to study the issues. Consider your own interests. Consider the welfare of the greatest nation in the history of the world. And when you do that, you can't do but one thing. You go to the polls on November the 4th, you send Adlai Stevenson to the White House, and we'll have four more years of good government.
Remarks of the President, Myersdale, Pennsylvania, 23 October 1952.
Thank you very, very much. I've had a most pleasant trip in Pennsylvania and West Virginia and New Jersey the last two or three days. And I have been highly pleased at the attention that the people have given to the causes I've been putting up to them. I've been trying to get them to think about the what is at stake in this election. And they seem to be highly interested. Now, before we get to the end of the program, and before I really start, I want to tell you that Margie had to go to New York today, and she's not with me, but she'll come back here someday. I guess you know by this time that I'm doing everything I can to help elect the Democratic ticket, nationally and locally. You have some wonderful candidates on this Pennsylvania Democratic ticket. And Judge Bard, you have a man who will really make you a senator. And they tell me that Phil Shoemaker will make a wonderful congressman, and I hope that when you go to the polls, you'll elect them both. I've got another interest in this campaign also. I want you to vote for Adlai Stevenson for president and John Sparkman for vice president. And the country... Adlai Stevenson has an outstanding record as governor of Illinois, and I think that's about the best training a man can get for the presidency. Governor Stevenson was drafted by the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, as you remember. He doesn't owe anything to anybody. He's a man of great integrity and courage, and I'm sure he'll make you a great president. And Senator Sparkman's record is just as good. He's been working for years for the farmer and the small businessman and all the rest of the everyday people in the country. These are men you can trust. Now, my friends, this is a most important election, and I believe you should think over very carefully the issues in this campaign. The Republicans don't want to talk about issues. That's one of the reasons I'm out. I've been going around over the country and telling the people just exactly what the issues are and asking them to do a little thinking on their own account. You've got to do that because as I've said before, time and again today, and all along since I've been out, that I think this is one of the most important campaigns since the Civil War. Everything nearly is at stake in this campaign. You must yourselves do a lot of thinking. I wish you'd study the issues. I wish you'd study the record of the Republicans in the Congress. That's where you can find out what would happen if they get control of the government. Their record is what counts, not what they tell you in a campaign. The Democratic record should be studied also. And then you ought to make up your mind what you think is best for this great country of ours, what you think is best for the free world. And then when you get right down to brass tacks, you ought to think about your own interests. And if you do that, You can't do but one thing. On November the 4th, you'll just have to vote the Democratic ticket, and we'll have Adlai Stevenson in the White House for 4 years, and we'll have 4 years of good government. Thank you very much.